Well, good morning again, and I have the distinct pleasure and honor this morning to welcome the one who's going to be preaching. I'm not preaching this morning, so we have Scott Mathis with us this morning. Scott is the president of the Berean Fellowship. Actually, Scott has been in ministry for over 25 years. And it's interesting the connections that we have with Scott, because we have there are a few of you that have been a part of Mitchell Berean or familiar with Torrington and Scott's Bluff and some other areas where Scott has come from, and he's up in that area. Scott is a true cowboy. He probably wouldn't want me to say this, but he actually at one point was a very, very successful roper and enjoys roping continually now, and so he's a true cowboy. So you'll very different from my background, and that's wonderful, isn't it? Scott is he left Berean and went and planted a church over in Torrington there, and just the Lord has really blessed his ministry. Many people have come to faith through Scott's ministry, and as I said, most recently, for what now, a little bit over a year, Scott has been the president of the Berean Fellowship, our fellowship of churches. And so we got an opportunity to spend a little bit of time with him as an elder board last night. And he gets to share with us this morning. So, Scott, if you'd come and deliver the word for us.
Thanks. It is great to be here today. Is this thing? Oh, my goodness. I'm professional at breaking these mics down, too. I think I've already broke two of them this morning during the Bible study hour. It's good to be here. I love this church. I've prayed for this church since its inception. I've been part of the Berean Fellowship since 1992, pastored at Mitchell Berean for 19 years, and then God called us over to Torrington to plant a church for unchurched and unsaved people, and we're there 5 years, and then had no desire whatsoever to become president of the Berean Fellowship. None. Wasn't even on my radar screen, and a friend of mine threw my name in the hat, and we made the mistake of praying about it, and God has supernaturally called us to this. So normally my wife is with me, Diane or Di-Di, and she is a big-time mountain climber. She's climbed all the 14,000-foot peaks in Colorado and written a book about her experiences called Up to the Mountain. And she actually takes women on these spiritual journeys, and they hike mountains. And so she's actually taking a group of women to go hike around Mount Rainier out in Washington. So that's why she's not with me today. She's in process of flying out there today. Normally, she and I. So we go to a different Berean church every weekend and train leaders, meet with leaders, encourage pastors and leadership teams, and have a passion that the Berean Fellowship continue to see churches planted so lost people can come to faith alone in Christ alone, and God's church be built here on earth. So we exist for that. We love the Berean Fellowship, and we love this church, and it is a privilege to be here this morning. You know, I'm really glad this morning when I went out to my pickup that I had a transmission in my pickup, because I started the engine, but imagine if I didn't have a transmission in my pickup. Can you imagine? I'd have sat outside of Kelly's house going, yee! But I could put it in this thing called R in his driveway, and when I pushed that thing on the floor, the power from the engine in my pickup was transmitted to the wheels, and I backed up, and then I put it in this thing called D. Do they have that in Kearney? And then I drove here. Transmissions are a really, really important fact of life. The power of the engine needs to be transmitted into the wheels. One of the things I discovered in my life is I have this crazy background where I hated God, hated the church, majored in history to disprove Christianity, was a wretched, complete drunk and jerk, and lived this pagan lifestyle. And then in 1990, Jesus saved me and gloriously transformed my life. And I'm on mission for the rest of my life to share that Jesus Christ is still saving people. But I had a lot of junk in my mind. Like, I've done and seen things that are really horrible. And one of the things I had to learn early on in my Christian life, and I had a mentor who taught me this, is that many times I would know God's Word. I would know about Jesus and His ability to save and change my life, but somehow I couldn't get the power of Jesus transmitted into my everyday life with how I treated my wife, with how I raised my kids, with how I responded to people. There was this disconnect from how I was able to not really transmit the power of Jesus into my everyday life. And one of my mentors taught me was, Scott, the thing you need to learn is how to control and take responsibility for what goes on in your thought life. Our thought life, when we accept the responsibility that God has assigned us to learn to control what goes on in our head, the power of Jesus then can get transmitted into our everyday working, outworking of our life. And so this morning, I want us to look at some verses, and you have one of my outlines. One of the things I've discovered is that I went backwards in order to go forwards. Nowadays, we do everything on a screen. One of the latest researchers has found that if you have a piece of paper that you actually write on, a physical piece of paper, that people actually retain more. So that's why you have an outline. There's nothing going to be on the screen this morning. Does everybody have an outline? Look with me at the key verse for transformational thinking at the top of your outline. Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. So much the reading of God's Word for that verse. Let's pray and then go through the rest of these scriptures. God, do a work through Your Word like only You can. God, Your Word does the work. And Your Word is alive and powerful, and it is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It cuts between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It reveals, God, junk in our life. And Lord, You have given us the responsibility to grow up in You, Jesus, in such a way and internalize Your Word in such a way that we learn to control our thought life, so that Your power, Jesus, Your love, Your grace, Your passion gets really transmitted into the everyday working of our life. So do a work in our midst this morning, Jesus. In Your name I pray, amen and amen. Our thoughts are primarily influenced by three entities. Number one on your outline, and I apologize for the short little line that you're to write on, because it's actually two words, your sinful self. Our thoughts are influenced by our sinful selves, or our flesh within us. Romans 8:5-6 says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. You and I are going to return to this verse here in a little bit, but you and I need to understand that what we think about affects us, and our sinful self, the sinful nature within us can influence our stinking thinking. Our thoughts are also influenced, number two on your outline, by Satan's society. You and I live in this fallen world. We're under the sovereign hand of God. In a mysterious way, He has allowed Satan some control. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan, who is the god of this world, little g, god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. One of the realities of living in a residual effect of living in a fallen world where Satan is the god of this age and he has blinded the minds of unbelievers, that then it leaks over into our everyday life and it leaks over into the church. So our thoughts are influenced not only by our sinful self within us, but also because we live in this Satan society, it is just easy to have a bunch of junk in our mind from our past and from our present. Praise God. Our thoughts, number three on your outline, are influenced by our Savior. By our Savior. Hallelujah, huh? I'm going to assume most of you who are here this morning are believers in Jesus Christ and have turned from sin and self and Satan and society and turned to the only Savior who can rescue you and redeem you. 1 Corinthians 2:16, and the setting for this passage is the Apostle Paul is teaching that we can understand God because His Spirit lives within us. And just as our spirit, no one can really know what we're thinking but us and God. He asks a rhetorical question, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. When you and I are born again in Jesus, whether we were 4 or 40 or 80, the Holy Spirit came to live inside us, and the Holy Spirit gives us this change of mind where we have the mind of Christ and we begin to think differently. We begin to have the ability to identify where our thoughts are coming from. Let's look at this next passage that helps us understand what having the mind of Christ really means. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You and I have been given the responsibility by God and the power from God through His Holy Spirit who indwells us to identify those thoughts we have. Have you ever kept a thought journal? I have. I would encourage you to do it, although it could get a little depressing. But every hour, pick a day, and every hour, stop at the top of the hour and write down your predominant thoughts for that last hour. It is highly, highly helpful for you to begin to learn, oh, I need to identify, is this thought that I've been thinking, is that from Satan and his society? Is that from my sinful nature? Or is that from my Savior? You want to transmit the power of Jesus Christ into your everyday life, learn to take every thought captive. Identify where is that thought coming from. Let's return to Romans 8:5-6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death, and there is. There is death with your intimacy with your Heavenly Father if your sinful nature is controlling your mind. There is death in your relationships. Some of you are in relationships that have died because your thought life was that no good, dirty jerk or that person who did that to me 10 years ago, and you've dwelt on that, and it has literally brought death to your relationship. And you and I need to understand that this is revolutionary stuff that we're looking at this morning. That you and I can learn to identify that if our minds are set on the wrong things, it always leads to death in intimacy with our Father and death to personal relationships. But praise God, look with me at the last verse. The last phrase of verse 6, but if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. What is going on in your head? Honestly, what is predominantly in your head? What do you think about? Life transformation occurs when the transmission power of Jesus gets put into our heads because we learn to identify what our thoughts are and take them captive. Look with me at Colossians 3:1-2. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth. Some of the most miserable people I know are Christians who forgot that they're going to heaven.
and they've got consumed with things here on earth. They forgot all about heaven. It's so sad. I mean, I meet some Christians, you know, and they're all they're doing, they look like literally they've been baptized in tobacco juice and, you know, they're just mad about everything. And they, you know, they watch Fox News more than they do they read their Bible, and this world's horrible and the younger generation's horrible. And their mind is totally, folks, we're one of the first generations or second generations in all of human history, all of church history, that think we can find heaven on earth. You can't. We have to let heaven fill our minds. This world is not our home. We're here for a very short time. And you and I have been, we've been fed a pack of lies about, oh, you can have it all here on earth. You can't. This earth stinks. It's hard. It's horrible. It's lonely. There is always going to be a sense of never being completed or fulfilled here on earth, because we're destined for heaven. And some of the most miserable people I know are Christians who forgot that. They forgot that heaven should fill their thoughts, and they shouldn't only think about things here on earth. Look with me at Philippians 4:8 at the bottom of your page. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. What's going on in your head? So on the back of your outline, 7 keys to letting Christ control your thoughts. These have been for me. They might not be for you, but these are 7 keys. Keys unlock locks, right? Really profound statement, yeah? Keys unlock locks. But some of you are locked up this morning, honestly. Some of you, even as I have been preaching, and you've heard God say through His Word that you need to learn how to change your thought life, but you're almost like, I'm locked up. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of the living God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in this room right now saying, I want to help you. I want you to see the power of Christ transmitted into your everyday life. So 7 keys. A key that helps me. Number 1, remember God knows what you're thinking. Gulp. Like He so knows what you're thinking. He's a big enough God that He knows what I'm thinking. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what my friends in India are thinking. He knows what my Cooney Indian friends down in Panama are thinking. That's a big God. But honestly, that scares me. Because I don't know about you, but I can be like worshiping Jesus, literally singing, Jesus is awesome. And in a nanosecond, my mind goes to polluted junk. Are you familiar with this, or do you not live this way in Kearney? Yeah, right. And it happens to all of us. And one of the beauties of understanding and accepting, God, you know what I'm thinking right now, and thank you for clothing me with your only Son's righteousness right now. But Lord, I want to bring glory to you with my thought life, and I do not want to think. You know, God, that this thinking is stinking, and it's violating your holiness in your heart, and I don't want to think that way. It helps me to remember that God knows what I'm thinking. Secondly, you need to be in the Word and prayer. You need to memorize God's Word and meditate on God's Word. When's the last time you memorized a verse? Oh, I forget. That's only for the Awana kids. Or what do you guys do here? Something different than Awana, but the same deal. That's right. It's only for them. No. We all need, I believe, to be memorizing Scripture. My verse is for, I try to memorize a different verse every month. My verse is for January, where Psalm 19, 12 through 14. King David wrote these. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Do not let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I love cows. I'm a cowboy. I love to rope cattle. I love to herd them. I spent all day Tuesday and Wednesday gathering cattle for a friend of mine. I even like to eat cows. Sorry if you're offended by that. Have you ever watched a cow eat? Cows have no teeth on the top right here. You know that? And they got this long old tongue. And they go around and they take that kind of long tongue out and they'll kind of wrap it around there, jerk that grass off and chew it a little bit and swallow it and then go get some more. And then what's a cow do? They go lay down. And they go, erp. They bring that, what they've already swallowed from their stomach, back up and re-chew it and swallow it again. When King David wrote Psalm 19, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, meditation, the Hebrew word for meditation, literally means chew the cud. David evidently looked around, saw a cow, and saw that cow taking it in, going lay down, bringing it back up. Meditation means you and I take in the Word of God, and then we bring it back to mind. We bring it back. And it's really hard to do that without memorizing God's Word. I would highly encourage you to establish a memory program for your life. It has been huge in my life. Literally, this week, I'm on my walk. I begin to have stupid thoughts, wacko thoughts. What did I do? Oh, I began to quote verses that I have memorized just this year. It helps so much. We need to memorize and meditate on God's Word. Thirdly, we need to live an authentic Christian community. You cannot have a good thought life if you're not surrounding yourself with a gospel community of other believers that you can learn to pray with, serve with, and confess your sins to. Fourthly, you need to control the media or it will control you. A lot of stuff on Facebook isn't really going to help your thought life. Some of those shows you're watching, streaming on Netflix are really messing your head up. Some of those movies, some of the TV programs, some of the websites you're going to, it's messing your head up. And again, I'm not some legalist and going to call and let's all bring our cell phones and TVs out to the parking lot and burn them next week. But I am appalled and ashamed, church, of how many Christ ones, blood-bought children of the Most High God, are messing their head and ruining families and churches by having their thought life cancerized by some of the junk they watch on social media or any sort of media. Folks, if this church is going to reach lost people in Kearney, Nebraska, it needs to be a church of people who are learning to take every thought captive and not feeding their minds with junk. And I beg you to watch, to be very careful what you watch. It does affect us. And I know some of you might say I'm old-fashioned. Some of you might say, whatever. I'm telling you, God says we are to be holy because He is holy. And we need to be very, very careful. Number five, the fifth key that I've learned, we need to biblically deal with conflict. If we haven't learned to biblically deal with conflict, I taught about this last hour, our heads are screwed up. Okay, so learn to biblically deal with conflict. Number six, replace your thoughts. Don't repress them. Don't think of a red apple right now. Quit thinking about a red apple, okay? Now, if you're human, you cannot not think. I'm assuming most of you are human, okay? Some of you might be wax figures, but most of you are human here today, right? You cannot not think. So we don't say, well, I'm not going to think about that person who dirty dogged me 10 years ago and 3 months and 3 days. I'm not going to think about that person who's dressed inappropriately. I'm not going to think. No, we cannot not think. We have to learn to replace our thoughts, not repress them. That's why it is so important to go back to number two. We need to memorize and meditate on God's Word. We cannot not think. And so we have to learn how to replace the junk thoughts with the truth from God's Word. Number 7, physical exercise sure helps me think better. Somehow sweating every day helps me. And I believe it helps a lot of people. And yes, we need to focus mainly on our walk with Christ, but I believe sometimes that we all can kind of, there's two big camps on the physical exercise. Some people are consumed with it more than they don't even know God or His Word because they're focused so much on the physical. But there's also a segment in the church who have ignored their body and don't take care of their body. And I think it's a travesty in the church. But my point is that somehow for each one of us with our own physical limitations, etc., we need to learn that physical exercise helps our thought life. And then a bonus, right? Bonus on there? Do you have a bonus deal on the end of your... Okay, great. Probably know this, but if you don't have this verse memorized, I'd encourage you to memorize it. Isaiah 26:3. I saw it on Pastor and Tammy's wall at their house. Isaiah 26:3, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." I love that verse. God will keep us in perfect peace when our minds are stayed on him. And so this morning, why did God get you here? What's going on in your head? Do you want God to really transmit the power of the resurrection of Jesus into your everyday life? Then a key thing is learning to identify our thoughts, learning to replace those bad thoughts with good thoughts. It's really very simple. I love you, Cornerstone Berean. Thanks for letting me come. Hopefully next year when we come, Di, my wife, will be here with me. You'll love her. She's an amazing woman of God. And thank you so much for serving Jesus. And please, please have a passion for lost people. I drove through this town praying over this town. There's thousands and thousands of people in this town that if they died today would go to hell. Spurgeon, the great pastor from our midst in the church back in the 1800s, said, "If you have no desire for others to be saved, then you're not saved yourself." Pretty powerful quote. The point is, do you hunger for lost people to come? There, God has put lost people in your circle of influence so that you can share the grace and truth and love of Jesus with them. There needs to be a revival in this town that has manicured lawns, but hearts that are far from God. There are thousands of people in Kearney, Nebraska and the surrounding area who face a Christless eternity in hell if they don't turn and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection. Have a heart for lost people. Hunger for them to come to faith. Love you. I got to preaching again. I think I'm done, though.